This is a very powerful gospel. But I just want to point out before I start looking at it with you, what we have here in chapter 3 of the book of Acts is the turning point. This man, this cripple, every day at the beautiful gate, when I lived over there, every Friday, all the sick and beggars would all assemble at the Damascus gate. And there they would be, blind, with their hands out. I used to pray, "Oh Lord, heal them all right now. Wouldn't that bring everybody to know you?" I would sometimes go over and say, "May the Lord heal you, brother." You know. This one reminds me of one that happened in Detroit last year. The seminarians in Detroit, at least many of them, go out and preach on the streets on Friday night. That's great seminary training. Well, one night, this big fellow, tall fellow, who'd be ordained a priest this June, was preaching and talking, and this woman, African-American woman, was blind and was talking with him. And he said, "Look, there's a church right there. Why don't we go in and just pray?" So they went in, and as he was praying, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand on the back of her head." So he did, and she was totally healed. So she went around telling everybody, of course. Because you see, the Lord sometimes picks something like that where somebody's well known and sick to heal them. And they can bear witness to him. That's what happened to this man here. Every day he was at the beautiful gate begging. Who did not know this man who lived in Jerusalem? And the Lord healed him. Now what happens from here on in, as you'll read, it's just more and more difficulty for the apostles. They're brought before the Sanhedrin. But the meanwhile, this man is standing there, wherever he is, saying, "Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, healed me." That's one of the real graces of the ministry of healing, to make it known. Now we have this wonderful story, which, of course, the longer the gospel, the less time for the preacher, which is all right. The gospel is what matters. I'm just supposed to serve it. This text shows us that if you really read the New Testament, the Old Testament, with eyes of faith, you'll see the risen Christ. This is a fact. Justin Martyr, some of the others, long before the Gospels, even if they had already been published, were well known, they argued about the resurrection from Jesus from the Old Testament. And so did Jesus. Didn't he say to them, "Was it not," and the word he uses, I forgot how they translate it, "was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and so enter his glory?" Well, why was it necessary? Because it is the will of the Father. Whenever you hear that word necessary in the Gospels, it always means the Father's will. This is the Father's plan. The Father's plan, you see, was that the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer and so enter his glory. And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what was referred to him, or what referred to him, in all the scriptures. Today, you pick up the Old Testament, you look at a servant's song, you read a psalm, and you ask the Holy Spirit to open that up for you, so that you see the radiant, glorious face of Christ. St. Augustine has these words, kind of like a prophecy. He said, the Lord says, "Look, I pray in you, I pray with you, and you pray to me." And it's all true. And so you have this beautiful, beautiful text where he goes through and says, don't you see what it says? Well, I remember we were having some big discussion there at the Biblicum. Might have been somebody's thesis defense. I don't remember now. And this question came up. The indications, the proofs, the signs of the resurrection. And the student did well. He got three of them. And Father Martini at the time, now he's Cardinal Martini, said, well, you've forgotten one. The fulfillment of Scripture is a proof that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is risen from the dead. So if you read with those eyes, the eyes that St. Justin Martyr had, or St. Irenaeus, or who knows how many, you see, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the Scriptures. That's why we have the Scriptures every day, because what you're having here is what? Jesus walking along, expounding the Scriptures, and then breaking the bread. The reason they could recognize him in the breaking of the bread is because their hearts had been opened and softened by the Scriptures. That's the structure of every Mass, and for the same reason. And while the priest is urged, preach. Get people ready to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. To see him. How hard it is, isn't it? Every day we have this incredible privilege. Thinking of Cardinal Sin, remember? In solitary confinement. And he would save a piece of his bread and a few raisins. And he'd let the raisins, ferment. And then with that tiny piece of bread and that little bit of wine, he would celebrate the Eucharist. And here we are, you see. So here's the Lord telling us this. And so then he breaks the bread. The reason why the church always wants us to break the bread before is because then our eyes will be opened. This power of this word is to open us up. Jesus will walk with us and open up the Scriptures for us. And he's telling us, walk with me during the day. You can't be that busy that you can't take some time to open up the Scriptures. And if you don't understand it, tell me. I can do for you what I did for them. Isn't my blessed Holy Spirit still holy and strong enough? I can, and your heart can burn. That burning heart is a reference to a great old rabbinic tradition that if you really penetrate the Scriptures, you will be brought back to the fire of Sinai, the very source of all revelation. That's why their hearts were burning. Because they were brought back and they saw the whole plan of God all around Jesus, the living Son of God, made man with flesh like ours. So we should praise the Lord and ask him to, when we hear these Scriptures, to have our hearts burn, be enlightened, know the fire of Sinai. As one old rabbi told this man, there were two of them talking in the house, and we turned to the fire, and the room was filled with fire. And he said, you're going to burn down my house. The old rabbi said, my friend, you don't understand. This is the fire of Sinai. It will purify you. It will enlighten you. But it will never harm you.